live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter V. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter V's America.
I happen to think election protection is a very important issue, a fundamental issue for our democracy. And that's why every week we set aside an hour to talk about election issues. And our point person is Brad Friedman. He's the operator of bradblog.com, a citizen journalist who has been working hard on these issues for far too long. I think Brad feels that way.
Indeed, I do.
And he provides a great service trying to bring us news, information, and analysis about critical issues related to our right to vote, to have every vote counted, and to restore credibility in our election process, which has seriously deteriorated over the last few years. And Brad joins us today from Hotlanta, where he is attending and participating in the U.S. Social Forums. What's going on there, Brad?
Hotlanta, indeed. It's quite amazing. There's anywhere from 10 to 15,000 folks here, workshops and panels of all sorts going on all weekend long, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We had a I'm down here essentially representing VelvetRevolution.us. We had a terrific media reform panel that I led this morning on being the media and the blogging revolution. Had had a friend of yours, Bob Vitrakis from the Press, and had who else did we have? Matthew Cardinale from the Atlanta Progressive News, which is a great independent newspaper out here. Had some other folks as well who talked about blogging and all manners of being the media and taking taking what we do at the independent level up to the mainstream and challenging those guys. So that was great. We had an election panel yesterday on election reform. So a lot of good stuff. And earlier in the week had a very interesting summit at the Carter Center, of all places.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll ask you about that a little bit later in the hour, and you can give us a little bit more of a report. I have some things to tell you about. In quick summation, Rush Holt has yet to return my phone call. I even dropped Bob Edgar's name as instructed, but so far silence from Congressman Holt's office. And also Secretary of State in California, Deborah Bowen, was on our program the other day, and she is not supporting the Holt bill, H.R. 811. And with that said, I want to bring on our guest, Lawrence Norden, Larry Norden, who is from the Brennan Center at New York University. He serves as counsel to their democracy program. And we're going to have a discussion here about various aspects of the Holt bill, H.R. 811, and go back and forth between Brad and Larry and get an understanding of some of the outstanding issues that we're still working through. Larry Norden, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Peter, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I had a chance to meet your executive director, Michael Waldman, a couple of weeks ago at the Take Back America conference, and also your colleague Jonathan Haffetz has been on our program a number of times. So I'm pleased to meet you, and I thank you for joining us. And I want to start off by saying that I believe that both of you gentlemen have the same goals in mind, and that we want to have an election process in this country that is credible and transparent, and that we're fighting for the same goals. There are some disagreements about the means, and in particular, whether the Rush Holt bill, H.R. 811, really deals with the outstanding issues that we believe are on the table. So, Larry Norden, knowing that legislation is not perfect, what is it that leads you to, on balance, favor the current version of H.R. 811?
Well, you make a very good point in saying that legislation isn't perfect, and I've done a fair amount of work in Washington over the past few years with bills, and I've never seen a bill that I could say I have no problems with. But what this bill does, and, you know, we have a book that's just come out on voting system vulnerabilities and identify some key things that need to be done. And, again, this bill, while not perfect, does some very important things to make sure that voting is more reliable and secure in the future. Most basically, it bans paperless DREs, which are the touchscreen machines that most people know about and are mm-hmm. concerned about.
Yeah.
It requires a paper trail for all of those machines. It requires some kind of voter-verified paper record. It requires a very strict auditing procedure. Paper by itself is not going to solve the security problems with these voting machines. If you're not using the paper in some way to check the electronic tally, then you're not going to have any more security. Paper by itself isn't going to prevent software bugs or programming errors that you're liable to have on these machines, no matter what kind of protections you take. And this bill will require, I think, more in a more stringent way than anything I've seen in any state, jurisdictions to use paper to check the electronic record.
Mm-hmm.
It also bans most wireless components on voting systems, and very importantly, it ends what the current practice is for testing these machines. Right now, we've got a real problem in the United States with the entire process for testing voting systems, and one of the key problems is that vendors themselves choose the so-called independent testing authorities
mm-hmm.
That certify them, that say that they've met federal guidelines, and they pay them directly. Not surprisingly, this has created some conflicts of interest, and we have many examples of voting machines being certified when they shouldn't have been, when they, in fact, they did not comply with federal guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And taking this process... taking this process out of the hands of vendors and saying that they don't get to choose who tests them, and that the vendors don't have to think when they're testing them, where is my next business coming from, is a huge step. So
okay,
are a few of the main reasons that I support the bill.
Okay, I understand. Sounds, Brad, like you weren't able to hear Larry. Is that
no,
right?
No, I wasn't. It's just the absolute faintest buzz in the background. I could not hear him at all.
Okay, have I fixed it now? Larry, talk a little bit.
Can you hear me now, Brad?
No, I can barely. I can't. I think you said, how you doing, Brad?
But okay. Brad, we're going to hang up on you and call back on another line. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I've been having a few bugs in my system here, and I just cleared that. Brian, go ahead and call him back. We'll get Brad back here in just a moment. And I'll let Brad speak for himself. But, Larry, in my discussions with Brad and other people, one of the real objections here is that a Rice University study showed that most voters don't know what to do with the paper trail, and that, as far as I know, H.R. 811 doesn't define the paper trail itself as a ballot. And therefore, in close elections, recounts, contested elections, or forensic audits, it's unclear exactly how that paper trail would be used.
Well, on the second point, I don't actually think that's correct, Peter. The bill actually calls, and I'm not sure that it should do. The bill actually calls the paper trail a ballot, and it says that when there is a discrepancy between the paper record and the electronic record. That the paper record is the ballot of record. So the language is quite strong on that point. So I don't think that's an issue. In terms of whether or not voters are checking the paper trails, I think that this is an area that has not been really thoroughly studied. But to the extent that voters are not checking paper trails, I think that there's a lot that we can do to make sure that they do.
All right, let me
on the importance of that. And even if, you know, one of the things that we show in our study is even if only a small percentage of voters are looking at this paper trail, that it adds a tremendous security value when we're using these machines.
Okay, we've got Brad back. So, Brad, go ahead and make a couple of points here, please.
I will indeed. I only heard the very end, so I can't comment on the earlier part. And before I do, I just want to mention that the Brennan Center and what Larry Norton have been doing there, their study, they did a landmark study on e-voting security that is, I recommend to everyone, which is really great. They're doing some great work in that regard. With that said, and just the last part of what I heard concerning the paper trail, which is not a paper ballot. It's unfortunate they call it that. But the Brennan Center study that Larry actually helped author, points out one of the most dangerous forms of attack to these paper trail systems, which would allow the paper trail itself to be gamed
along with the machine itself in such a way that an audit would never find it. And that's one of the biggest concerns, and why I was so troubled to hear the Brennan Center endorsing the Holt bill. I'm not sure why, because their own work shows really the dangers of that. And as Larry mentioned, you know, even if a small portion of folks do check their paper trail, this hack that they outlined in their own study shows exactly how you would hack the system, hack the paper trail and the internal numbers, and an audit would shore up such a gamed election as being a perfectly accurate election. I think that is a huge threat.
Well, so Brett, I have to make the point that actually what we found in this study was that if you can get just a small percentage of people to look at the paper trail, that in fact this kind of an attack can be caught.
Well, from what my understanding of this particular hack that we're talking about, essentially what it would do is it would flip every, you know, let's say 1 out of 10 votes. And if the voter happened to notice it, if they did check the paper trail, and they would say, oh, no, I didn't vote that way, then, in fact, the machine would flip it back and print it out correctly this time. But that enough, it counts on enough folks not checking their paper trail that it would get through and, you know, could easily flip 2, 3, 5% or more in such a way that the paper trail would match perfectly with the internal numbers.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too much into the weeds of the study, but what I will say is, and I invite you to go back and look at that section of the report. We make the point strongly that if you have a small percentage of people looking at this, that it will be very difficult for this to be a successful attack, and there'll be many ways to detect that the attack had happened.
And my understanding is the way to detect that it had happened is that you have to have
audit.
Pattern. You have to do an audit, but then in the audit you have to have you have to look for patterns of canceled votes. And if you notice a certain pattern of canceled votes, then you might be able to go look further.
The Holt bill requires that it actually specifically requires that when audits are done that the number of canceled votes has been recorded.
Well, the number of canceled votes may be recorded, but nothing about the patterns in there, and that is really the only way to catch this hack, as I understand it, and the Holt bill speaks nothing of that and opens us wide up not only to not catching fraud, but to what's even more dangerous is using an audit to confirm a fraudulent election as correct. And I could see that confirming a DRE election as perfectly correct, while an op scan would not be correct. And I think the end result could be that we end up showing that DREs are the best way to count elections, and op scans are discredited, paper ballots are discredited by this legislation itself, even though the opposite is true.
Gentlemen, I got to jump in here. We're late for a break. We'll return with Brad Friedman and Larry Norden from the Brennan Center at New York University. We're talking about the Holt bill, H.R. 811, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Larry Norden from he's the director of the Voting Technology Assessment Project at the Brennan Center on the Law at New York University. He is a supporter of the present form of H.R. 811, the Holt bill. And also with us, our regular contributor, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, who opposes the Holt bill in its current form. And just before we took the break there, gentlemen, first I'll mention that Larry Norden has agreed to stay on for another couple of segments. I appreciate that, Larry, and I apologize for the technical problems that prevented Brad from hearing you in the first segment. Brad got in the last word there about paper trails. Did you want to add something, Larry?
Well, I think the main point here is that I believe that our study showed that the kinds of things that are in the Holt bill, even when you're talking about DREs and paper trails, having paper trails and audits and doing a lot of the other things that are in there, will make DREs and all voting substantially more secure. And the question is, what is the alternative? And the alternative is that in 2008, we're going to have 14 states that have paperless DREs, which I think everybody agrees are the most dangerous types of machines when it comes to both security and reliability. We're going to have 37 states where they're not using paper to check the electronic record. We're going to still allow wireless components on voting machines. We're going to have no access. We have this this litigation going on still in Florida over this election to replace Catherine Harris, where the courts have held that even though we don't know why 18,000 votes were lost, the litigants can't look at the source code. We're going to still have that on the books unless this bill passes. So I have to say I respect Brad very much. He's done a lot of great work. But my question to him is, why is the alternative better in this case?
Well, I'll be happy to answer that. I think that you had mentioned that. First, Ben, we may have to wait till after the break. But I don't know. I'd like to hear you answer if you believe that DREs actually can be made secure with or without a paper trail. But that in mind, I don't think paper trails on these DRE systems make things better. I think they make them worse. I think they would have made them worse down in Florida, where at least we know what we don't know. Had we had the Holt bill, had we had a paper trail on those systems, the computer scientists that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to many of them, have all said that, well, the paper trails likely would have said exactly what the screen appears to have said, which is that 18,000 people either chose to not vote or could not otherwise, didn't notice or couldn't change their undervote in that particular race. And now you would have a paper trail that says, well, look, 18,000 people chose not to vote. You have your paper trail here. That proves it. And that would have been the end of that case. And I don't think we would still be challenging that right now in Congress or in the state or so forth. So I think arguably paper trails make things worse instead of better on those DRE machines, because at least now we know what we don't know. And as far as alternatives go, I would suggest that if all of the computer scientists who seem to be almost unanimously against the use of DREs,
well, I don't have, first of all, Brett, I don't think that that's true. And I should say, you know, that we had a task force on this report that I think represents the best of the best that have looked at this issue. And they were in agreement that paper trails and audits will make a substantial difference in making these touchscreen machines more secure. And secondly, I do not think that there is agreement among computer scientists at all that we should ban touchscreen machines altogether.
Well, David Dill has said, we should not use them. Avi Rubin has said that there is, after 4 years...
I should point out that David Dill and Avi Rubin are big supporters of the Holt bill.
That's right. Well, they are supporters of it, but what they have both said is that DREs should not be used, are antithetical...
Brad Friedman, Larry Norton, will return after a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Oh, thank you, Grace Jones. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. As we continue with Larry Norton, an attorney at the Brennan Center at New York University, and he is director of the Voting Technology Assessment Project there at the Brennan Center, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Larry supports the Holt bill, and Brad doesn't. And, gentlemen, we ran out of time there as we were heading to the break last time, and let me just reconstruct. Brad was citing some studies from Avi Rubin and David Dill, and Larry had jumped in to point out that Dill and Rubin do support the Holt bill. Let me come back to you, Brad, to follow up there.
Well, yes, they do support the Holt bill, but all of them have said, and this is a lot of scientists on record and many many others off record who I've spoken with, but the scores of them, who say we should not use these DRE touchscreen systems, and yet some of them, indeed, as you mentioned, David Dill and Avi Rubin, are supporting the bill, but they're doing so on the basis that that a DRE, a ban of these touchscreen systems, could not pass in Congress. And yet, time and again, I've asked as many of them as I could to give me the single name of a Congress member who is in favor of this Holt bill who would vote against it if it included a ban on DREs. So far, I've yet to get a single name in that regard. And I would suggest a lot of this seems to go back to the one group who I generally usually like and appreciate their work, but the one group who is actually in favor, prefers touchscreen systems over paper-based systems, that's People for the American Way. They and Holt's office have been claiming that a DRE ban could not pass Congress, and yet there seems to be absolutely no evidence of that.
All right.
And yet David Dill and Avi and everyone else has seems to have bought into this.
Larry, how do you respond to that? Number one, in a perfect world, if you were emperor, would you ban touchscreen machines? And number two, has there been a head count to establish that a ban could not pass at this time?
Well, I'll start with number two first, because it's the easier question to answer. There hasn't been a head count, but I've been dealing with this down in Washington and been dealing with the opposition to this bill, and there's no question in my mind that if there was a DRE ban on this bill, it would be dead in the water. If this bill fails, and again, I have great respect for Brad Friedman and the much good that he's been has done in protecting voter rights and voters' interests, but if this bill fails, it's not going to be because Brad Friedman and people opposed to the continued use of DREs are opposed to it. It's going to be because election officials have been screaming bloody murder that it's going too far as it is.
And that sort of shores up my point, really, in that we know that the elections officials are going to be against it as is. And so, you know, it would be nice if all of the election integrity folks, and I share, you know, my respect for Larry, certainly in the Brennan Center, if all of us were on the same page saying, look, this is what election integrity requires, we could band together to fight against the election officials who are just plain wrong. And if the Republicans in Florida, of all places, the Republican governor, Republican House, Republican Senate, if they can ban DREs, this notion that a Democratic-controlled House and Democratic-controlled Senate can't ban DRE touchscreen machines just strains credulity at this point. Had you guys stood up and said, yes, this is not only are these antithetical to democracy, but any bill that reforms elections must ban them, I would suggest we would have such a bill now, and we would still be fighting those elections officials, but we would be doing it together.
And Larry, the resistance that you cite, is it coming from officials who have already invested in this machinery and don't want to scrap it and start over? From my perspective, we're throwing good money after bad.
Part of the resistance certainly is that, you know, election officials just in the past few years have had to buy a tremendous amount of new equipment, and yes, they are resistant to the federal government telling them again, you either have to make all these changes or you have to buy entirely new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But in answer to your first question, which I didn't get to,
yeah,
I'm not crazy about the idea of the federal government dictating what technology can't be used. I think that there's the more appropriate thing for the federal government to be doing is to set basic, and I think the Holt bill does this, basic security standards, basic usability standards, basic accessibility standards for these machines, and to say if you can't meet them, then you can't continue to use those machines. But to say that a specific technology is good or bad, technology isn't the answer for these problems. The answer is setting basic standards, setting basic procedures, and making sure that they're enforced.
Well, technology is certainly not the answer, and I would agree with you there. But in fact, the federal government already has set what sort of voting equipment cannot be used in the Help America Vote Act.
to at least one extent. In Section 301 of the Help America Vote Act, it requires that all voters be able to verify their ballot before it is cast and counted. It is simply impossible for any voter to verify their ballot before it is cast and counted on a DRE touchscreen machine.
Well, they can verify the paper trail.
Well, the paper
trail is the ballot
not counted,
of record.
Larry.
That is the ballot of record under the Holt bill.
But the paper trail is not counted, and we discussed in an earlier segment how you can game both the paper trail and the internal numbers to match up, and in such a way that it would not be caught by an audit. So if you follow the federal rule, the federal laws that exist already, and frankly, common sense that tells us, you know, hey, a voter needs to be able to verify their ballot as accurate before it is counted, then that knocks out DRE voting systems. And if I could just throw out one question to Larry, are you familiar with a single, can you name a single member, Congress member, who is in favor of this bill but who would withdraw their support if it included a ban on DREs? Because all the ones that I talk to don't.
What I can tell you to do is look at a map of where DREs are.
Yeah.
And all of the Congress members that are in those districts that are supporting the bills, these bills, and I would be willing to wager that the vast majority of them would not be willing to support this bill if it meant that their states had to get rid of their machines entirely.
Well, let's not wager on our democracy. Are you able to confirm a single name? Have you talked to a single member who has said, I will support this bill, but not if it includes ban on DRE? Because I can't find one, Larry.
Well, I have to admit that I haven't posed that question directly to anybody because I haven't particularly thought that that's the most important thing to do to make these voting systems and to make our elections as secure as possible. To me, the things that are key to making our elections as secure as possible is to make sure that we're auditing whatever paper we're using, whether it's a paper trail or it's an optical scan, because we know that both of them are incredibly vulnerable to both programming errors and insertion of corrupt software.
Well, I would suggest,
it's changing the process by which we're certifying these machines in the first place, which is so flawed and has resulted in us certifying machines that never should have been in use in the first place. And to me, those two things are so much more important than whether or not we throw in the river machines that are used by 40% of the country.
Well, it does change the way these systems are certified, and the bill was certainly a lot better before it came through committee. Now that it's out of committee, you, as a computer expert, scientist, and so forth, may be able to look at the source code. I, as an average citizen, will never be able to look at that source code. I find that unfortunate. But, you know, even at that, when you're using a system like that, and remember, democracy requires confidence by the public. When you've got a system that requires counts on audits to get things right and the fight that would take place after Election Day, mm-hmm. I think you're headed for trouble. I think you need to get it right on.
That's going to be
you need to get it right on. If I could just finish,
sure.
You need to get it right on election night, and you can ask Christine Jennings, who here we are coming up on almost a year later, who's still trying to fight for an election that even the voting machine company, even the one expert for the voting machine company, in her state contest, admitted she likely would have won the race had it not been for problems with those machines. You can ask Al Gore the same thing. You got to get it right on election night.
Right. I agree with you that if you could do that, that is the ideal situation, absolutely, and that's why better procedures in place and a better understanding of to use these machines is important. But, you know, they weren't using DREs or touchscreen machines in 2000 in Florida. That wasn't the cause of the problems.
Right.
And optical scan machines, and we show this very clearly in our report, are just as susceptible to the kind of programming errors and software bugs and insertion of corrupt software and hacking as DREs. In fact,
but Larry, in that case, even if you have a corrupted optical scanner, there is a paper ballot that survives, and that can be audited in any kind of post-election activity.
It can be, but number one, right now most places aren't doing audits. The vast majority of states, even that have paper, are not performing audits, and secondly, as Brad pointed out, you're only going to find that out afterwards.
Well, I agree.
In fact, that's unfortunately the situation. There are a lot of benefits to electronic voting, whether it's by optical scan machine or whether it's by touchscreen, and I think this this gets overlooked a lot, but we have a lot more votes recorded than we used to. We used to have a situation where every election day, because we had these hanging chads and everything else, you would assume that 2 to 3% of votes would get lost, because and that doesn't happen anymore because the electronic voting machines tell you if you made a mistake.
Well, I agree that certainly the optical scan paper ballot system is preferable over the punch card system, but we're not really debating that. I'd also agree that audits are useful and are necessary. I'm glad to see them in the Holt bill. I won't quibble for now about the protocols used there. We'll just say audits are good, but you know, if there's a question about the optical scan systems, which are susceptible, as you suggest, at least there is a paper ballot that we know reflects the voter intent. There is no way, even if 100% of the people checked their paper trails, and we do know a recent study at Rice University said 2/3 of the voters didn't notice vote flips on the screen in front of them. Even if 100%, however, did check those ballots, there is those paper trails, I'm sorry, there is no way for me to know or you to know that they checked those paper trails.
But, you know, I want to point out
that reflects voter intent.
I want to point out one thing about, and I don't want to be in the position of defending touchscreen machines, because I think all of the electronic voting machines that we're using at this point have their flaws. But I do want to point out one thing about the touchscreen machines. You know, if I'm voting and I see that the paper record and the electronic and what it's telling me on the screen don't match, it's very obvious, and I can say something, and I can have that machine shut down. When I'm voting on an optical scan machine, I don't know if that's happened. I put in my ballot. I don't know what the electronic tally that they're going to use as the when they're adding up all the votes actually recorded my vote as saying.
Well, as you know, though, in your own study, in the Brennan Center study listing 120 e-voting security threats, the threat is not where you've got one thing on the paper trail and one thing on the screen. You know, it's the flips that you can't notice, the type we talked about before, where if you notice it, the machine will flip it back, but enough are likely to get through. And now you've got, you know, this major bill in place that puts these audits in place for the first time, you know, presuming it gets through, and you're in a position right now to verify as accurate a completely flipped election. That's a grave danger, and you know, supporting not calling for a DRE ban has apparently not made this bill any easier to go through, because we're still getting the opposition that we knew would come to this thing. So I would suggest standing up for what we know, and you know, as computer scientists, where what we know is right would be the right way to go, and fight it out that way. This is our democracy, after all.
Gentlemen, Larry, let me do a time check and just your availability. I don't know if you have plans this evening, but can you stay one more segment?
Sure.
Okay. Let me take this break, and then we'll get final comments from each of you. Brad Friedman is with us. He opposes the Holt bill. And Larry Norden, who supports the Holt bill, will continue in just a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 47 minutes past the hour. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got a lively discussion underway about the Holt Bill, H.R. 811, intended to fix some of our problems with election systems and election practices in this country. Larry Norden, who supports the bill, is counsel at the Brennan Center at New York University. And Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, as you know, doesn't support the bill in its present form. I'll just add that in a recent interview with California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, she said that she cannot support the Holt Bill in its current form. And, gentlemen, I know we had a conversation going there, but I want to allow Dave Berman to jump in here. Dave is an election activist from up in Eureka, California. Dave, thanks for joining us. A quick comment, please.
Yeah, Peter, you know, I've heard many, many times about different topics that if you have to choose the lesser of two evils, you're still choosing evils. And it makes this debate just seem completely ridiculous, because op scans and DREs, they're both counting the secrets. We've got to have hand-counted paper ballots, and let's make the discussion about that. That's what we're doing here in Humboldt now.
All right, Dave, thank you for that comment. I appreciate it. And, Larry, to that point, I am one of those people who feels that the DREs can't really be fixed. And that while it is sad to acknowledge that HAVA was a failure and misguided, it's more important to really fix the system and get it right. And my fear is that the Holt bill will lock in privatized election systems controlled by corporations, not by the people who manage our elections. Larry, are you there?
Apologies. Yeah. I just don't see that. What I see is a bill that makes substantial improvements to the security and reliability of our voting systems. As I've already mentioned, it does a lot of really important things. And again, I just can't help but go back to what the alternative is. And the alternative to the passage of this bill is that we're going to have another federal election where we have 14 states that with paperless touchscreen machines where there's going to be no way to go back and do any kind of recount. If votes are lost, they're lost forever. And if you have a paper trail and the votes are lost on the touchscreen machine, at least you have the paper trail. We're going to have 37 states that do no check on their electronic tallies. We're going to continue to allow wireless components on voting systems, and we're not going to change what's a broken certification system.
All those points are cogent, except that if we stopped using the machines, those problems would go away. And if we return to a fundamental system of paper ballots counted by humans, our election process might take a little longer, but it would be more accurate, and we would have much higher confidence and credibility on the part of the average voter.
Well, the one thing I would say about that is I want to go back to what some of the benefits of electronic voting are. And there are two key benefits that if you went back to paper and hand count, you would lose, aside from the fact that it would, I think a lot of people might not have patience for how long it would take to do that. One is that with the overvote protection that we now have on these machines, people are making less mistakes. And you have more votes recorded than in the past. And this particularly affects, low-income and minority voters. Mm-hmm. Their votes are being counted at a much higher rate than they used to be, because you had situations like you did in Florida in 2000 where somebody wrote in Gore and filled in the space for Gore. And because of that, their vote wasn't counted. And you don't have that happening anymore, because the machine tells you, you voted in two places. You can only vote in one place. Well, and the other is you have members of the disabled community who for the first time are able to vote independently and privately. And those are both huge advantages from electronic voting. And I would hate to see us go back to a point where we lost those advantages.
Well, my goodness, in New Mexico, when they moved from when they banned DRE touchscreen machines, and from 2004 to 2006, Native American reservations, the undervote rate dropped when they used paper trails by 86%. On Hispanic communities, 69%, going just from DRE to paper trail.
Brett, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that's. Those figures are very misleading, because you're talking about a specific kind of touchscreen machine that is very confusing, that I have made part of my work to get rid of throughout the country. In general, when you switch from DREs to OPSCANs, there won't be anything like that difference. In fact, there's an argument to be made that touchscreen machines for many races or do a better job at recording voter intent.
I know we're running out of time, but is there anything in the Holt bill that actually bans the full face DREs that you're talking about? Is there anything that specifically bans those?
Well, it requires a paper trail for all touchscreen machines, and as far as I know, there has been made yet no paper trail for full face touchscreen machines.
Well, that's right. And there is no paper trail.
So if they can't get one, they're going to have to get rid of them.
Well, but the fact of the matter is, to use the idea that there are fewer undervotes, that there are more votes, more votes is fine. But if they're not accurate votes, I don't think that gets us anywhere. Second, you threw in a couple of false dichotomies there. One, by saying that disabled voters can now vote privately and independently, and I agree that is a good thing. However, they can do that on ballot marking devices that have the same interface as a touchscreen DRE, but produce a paper ballot that can actually be counted. And secondly, you said that the alternative to this bill was nothing. I disagree. I think that the alternative to this bill is the almost near universal agreement that we need to reform our election system.
Well,
we could put through a bill that could easily take care of these problems in time for 08 and leave us with a ballot that actually reflects the voter intent that we can count on.
Larry, go ahead and make a comment, and give me about 45 seconds, then I have to wrap up.
You're asking me to identify anybody who wouldn't support the bill. If Brad could come up with 220 Congress members who say they would be willing to support a bill that bans DREs, I might reconsider my position.
Well, look, you guys have, I'm sorry to say, the big money and the big lobbying power on Capitol Hill.
Not
and to tell us and that we can't ban systems because they won't pass in Congress, but be unwilling to name a name so that constituents can call their members and make sure they're educated about this, because I've talked to a lot of members, and they're not educated. They think that DREs, if you ban them, that blind and disabled folks won't be able to vote. That's just not true. There are ballot marking devices that they can use just fine.
All right, gentlemen, I'm running out of time here. I want to thank you both. Larry, I appreciate you participating today. Larry Norden from the Brennan Center at New York University. And we'll talk again, and we'll see where all this goes. The Holt bill currently is stalled, and there are a lot of election officials around the country who are agitating against it. So, Larry, again, thank you for joining us today. Brad, just a final word from you, about 10 seconds.
Well, I just want to thank Larry. I really appreciate him showing up and talking about this. Hopefully we can do it again in the future. I think it's a good and healthy debate that we need to have. And thank you for having both of us on, Peter.
My pleasure. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Brad.
Peter and Brad.
All right. Take care. Thank you for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. It's been a thriller. Tune in again next time. We'll be here for you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds?